The following is a King's Chapel, Alaska presentation with Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion's making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's call and help us be the personal, powerful, permeating church God's called us to be. For more information, visit kcalaska.com or find us on Facebook. Here's Pastor Daniel.
Amen.
Take your Bibles with me, turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Been working on this message, and at the risk of turning it loose prematurely, we like taking risks, first of all. Does anybody, come on, faith is many times spelled risk. Deuteronomy 18. We love you, kids. Praise the Lord. You're world changers. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. Are you ready? When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess listened to soothsayers, diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed you for such. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me in your midst. And from your brethren, him you shall hear. According to all you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. Verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Well, lovely. Verse 21. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word of the Lord has not spoken? How shall we know which the Lord has not spoken? Verse 22, the final verse for tonight. Maybe. When the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or does not come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. Pretty simple. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Father, tonight, come and give us living understanding. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you tonight about a spirit of witchcraft. And like I said, it might be a half-baked, so we'll just trust God for the completion of it. Has anybody, you know, just show of hands, has anybody ever gotten anything on Facebook that says something like this? you know, I mean, it could be really spiritual, like, you know, Jesus died on a cross, rose again from the grave, and he loves you. Forward this to 5 people, or something bad's going to happen to you. Do you know the first thing I do with people, those things? I unfriend those people. No, I don't. I certainly, it's the last thing I do is forward it. I don't hardly forward anything. You say, but isn't it true that Jesus died on a cross and rose again from the grave? Yes. Shouldn't people know that? Yes. The problem is that somebody has sent me something to try to control me. How many of you remember prayer chain letters? Prayer chain letters. Yeah, they still have them. You know, it's just snail mail. People don't use snail mail too often. But they send it to you. They say, you know, forward this to 15 people. And if you do, here's some of the testimonies. Bubba from Nebraska, when he did it, he got a 1964 Shelby. And Betty Sue from Southern Florida, she grew fruit and vegetables bigger than ever seen before in that entire region. And Jimmy from Malibu, California, well, he got the big contract and made millions of dollars. And it goes on to list all the things that happened to the people that actually obeyed the control witchcraft letter. And then it goes on to say all the things that you know, but, you know, Bubba didn't, and, well, he's dead, you know. And it goes on to list, how many of you know what I'm talking about? It's witchcraft. It's witchcraft. I'm going to tell you the last thing that I ever do when I start feeling controlled by anybody. If I feel manipulated or controlled or intimidated, you know, Pastor Vince, it was like this when I was in the world, and it's still like this in the spirit. If I feel like somebody wants to intimidate me, I move closer and get bigger and just look for the swing. Go ahead. There are times when I've had people try to move me a particular direction, but the spirit of it is control. And their direction, honestly, I'm just telling you the truth. Their direction, when I hear about it, actually, it's a better idea than what I had. Hell will freeze before I take the better idea because they're trying to manipulate and control me. I'm just not into it. Women are really good at it. Oh, yes. And men are also very good at it. We're fallen. Is that a good recovery? We're fallen. Our society, well, honestly, it's true. Men have a tendency to be more upfront. Women have a tendency to use their giftings. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And some of you ladies know full on what I'm talking about. You know more than we do. You know some women are just, woo, crafty, right? Swish of the hair, little shimmy. Do I have to go there a little further? Are we all getting this? Come on, when you go to pay, huh, fellas? You go to pay your bill at the diner, or you go to pay, and she's like, drops the change, and she just leans over to let her blouse just open up. Now, if you're a man of God, you're all, oh, hallelujah. And she's all, oh, let me get that. Yeah, so she's using witchcraft. She's manipulating you. Jezebel. Anyway, our society is filled, it is filled with this type of stuff. It's all over. There are spirits at work that will affect you. And if you start delving into it and messing with it, now it comes through video, it comes through movies, it comes through Facebook, letters, Instagram stuff. And who knows, maybe you're using a little witchcraft in your own life. And you can ask the Lord about it. We're going to get there. Witchcraft defined, divination. Everybody say divination. I read from the New King James, but in the NIV it says divination. Divination is attempting to discern the future through various means. And pagan cultures would use bones. They would use the I Ching, I think it's called, and there's astrology. And some of you, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Some of you go to the horoscope and read it every morning to see what will happen. Now, I was raised in the 70s. I know it looks like I was born in the late 80s, but I honestly, especially my wife, we were born in 85. I was born in 66. I'm so, you know, the tail part of the hippie thing. I mean, when you would meet somebody, it was a common thing. I would hear my parents say it. I heard people saying it in high school. So what sign are you? Who knows what I'm talking about? Oh, when are you born? You know, all the songs. This is a dawning of the age of Aquarius. Palm reading, tarot cards, all of that stuff is divination. And palm reading's big today. I mean, I won't ask you to raise your hand again either, but I've had people say, oh, can I see your hand? I mean, it's like before I was saved. I know now. Actually, if you hand your, as a spirit-filled believer, if you hand your hand to a palm reader and they're a real one, they will shrink back. Watch out. So they look and they go, oh, I see your lifeline. It's just really long. And you're going to have this many kids. It's all witchcraft. It's divination. It's attempting to figure out what's going to happen in the future through various means. And it's wicked. Another thing is magic, attempting to control events through the use of various means, casting spells. Oh. In the text, it talks about them actually killing their children. You see, abortion is really sacrificing children to Molech. Don't kid yourself. They call it another name, but that's what it is. You know, the problem in America, I'm wearing my Captain America shirt, so I'm going to go for it. The problem in America is not the decline of the dollar. That's not our problem. That's a byproduct. The problem is we've removed God and our morality has gone so low that this is what the problem is. The scriptures say that the land will vomit out the inhabitants if they live like this. So we've been doing this for years. Now, what makes us think that we're actually not going to be vomited out and dispossessed? Dispossessed. And it says here that the reason that God is kicking them out of Canaan's land is because of these things. Do you know that America, I mean, the Chinese have more investment in America than like Americans do. You know that, right? It's a scary thing. There is a spirit of witchcraft that hovers around. See, what are they freaking me out, Pastor? I'm just trying to preach the truth to you. I'm trying to help you. Magic is another thing. Attempt to cry to control events through various means. I think anger is witchcraft. What do you mean? When you get big and loud and ugly and potentially violent, before your kids, before your wife, or before your husband, and you get so stinking mad that you're spitting and snapping your teeth, what you're trying to do, I've been guilty, so I'm sure I'm not the only one. What you're trying to do is you're trying to get that person to obey you and get them to do what you want. And even if what you want is you want respect, so you want respect, but you get angry. So you get angry to try to control and manipulate them to get them to respect you. That's not God, people. Okay, you should see what I'm looking at tonight. Praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, aren't you glad you came to Holy Ghost night? Go ahead. This is just so encouraging tonight. Consulting spirits. Pastor Karen, come here. Consulting spirits. Now, some of you just are clueless, man. You just don't know. Now, some of you do know. Now, when I met my beautiful wife, she was following two gurus, and I was a missionary on a missionary dating program, which I didn't suggest that any of you do. Usually doesn't work out. I was a missionary. I was trying to convert her. Right. It worked. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Actually, it's the Lord intervened for both of us, really. But you were following two gurus, and one of them was, now we even have a name for it, it's called channeling. You know, it's this cute name is channeling. It's really a spirit meeting. Really, it's demon possession is what it is. Now, you're following two gurus, and just tell them a little bit about your, you know, an experience there.
Which one?
Whatever you like.
Well, on one occasion, when I ended up making the final commitment to join this group, I went into a room, and there were probably about 100 people sitting in different places on the floor, separated from one another. And this lady went into meditation. We were all watching, and there were candles and incense and all this stuff. It was a really beautiful environment. And this lady went into meditation, and then all of a sudden she kind of moved in this kind of odd way, and then all of a sudden she began to speak with all these weird voices. And said that she was Oceana, which is a trance of about 700 different beings from somewhere else. And they were somewhere else. They were from somewhere else.
And it was creepy, right?
It was fascinating. It was fascinating. It was, well, I mean, now knowing what I know, it was like terrifying. But back then I was like, wow, that's really cool. Back then, because I didn't know what it was.
And God delivered you, huh? Praise the Lord. If Oceana shows up at your house, just do something like this. Devil, I bind you. You actually don't have to shake or anything, but you can take authority over it. I just thought it'd be fun to shake a little bit. You have authority over the devil, and there really are demon spirits, and they do really speak through people. They also use animals and stuff. I can go on and on and on and on and on about all kinds of experiences and stuff. I'm not here to glorify or magnify the devil. I am here to tell you there is witchcraft. It is in our midst. It's in the nation. It's all over the place, from the little things of Facebook to people trying to control you to spirit mediums and all of that stuff. You say, well, wow, what do I do? We're going to get there. Hold on a second. Witchcraft, first of all, witchcraft is detestable to the Lord. Everybody say it's detestable. You'll see this in chapter 18, verses 14, as well as verse 12. It says it's detestable. And literally our nation is yielded to this witchcraft. There's a number of main controlling spirits that are operating in our country. Spirit of Mammon is one of them. Witchcraft is another one. I mean, we could just go on and on. Maybe we should just, you know what we do? We'll just continue to preach along these lines. I'm starting a series. That's it. I'm starting a series. I'll do it on Tuesday night. And we're gonna target these main entities that I see as prayer as we prayerfully move into the series. Main things that I see is affecting our nation in a major way. Mammon is a major one. Spirit of the Antichrist, another one. And you know, we just need to be informed. Hello. Is this okay? You guys all right? Yeah. All right. It's not really preachy. It's really sort of teachy. God's answer to witchcraft. Now, you'll notice he talks about detestable. Detestable is detestable. And then he says, but I do have prophets. And he does have priests. Really, God's answer for in the Old Testament were the Levites who would, through the sacrificial system, bring atonement for their sin. Now, today, you know, it's Passover. I've just gone through Passover. How many of you saw the blood moon? Oh, man, that was cool. I couldn't really get a good picture of it, so I took a picture of a red light bulb and put it up instead. I watched that blood moon. I'm thinking, man, my iPhone just doesn't quite get it over there. And I did see some good pictures. But the blood moon corresponding with Passover. Now, Passover is a celebrated, you know, really forever. And it comes from when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. The death of the firstborn, and how they were to take blood, and I've said this many times before, but how they were to take blood of a lamb, of a what? Of a lamb for each household, and put the blood on the doorpost, and when the death angel would come, the death angel would pass over, would do what? The death angel would pass over the homes that had the blood on it. It was the final plague, it was the last one that broke Egypt, and finally Pharaoh let them go, changed his mind, hunted them down ever after, and then his whole army got killed. in the Red Sea, which some say was impossible. It was the Reed Sea, which I would say is a greater miracle if it was the Reed Sea, because it's only about 3 feet of water, and the largest army in the world drowned in 3 feet of water would be even a greater miracle than the Red Sea. And anyway, either way, tremendous miracle. And that's Passover. And of course, it was a type and shadow of the curse of death that would be on all of us, that would pass over because of the blood of the Lamb. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And so the blood being upon the doorpost of our hearts would cause death to pass over. Death, where is thy sting? And we would live forgiven and healed and whole, atoned for. The types and shadows that were in the sacrificial system finally brought to fulfillment, and the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven. Not on a copy, but on the actual one in heaven, would cause us to be totally washed and cleansed and taken out the heart of stone and put in the heart of flesh, and we would be new creatures in Christ, created, amen, to do good works. But the Levites ministered to the Lord on behalf of the people in the Old Testament, and the prophets spoke his word on behalf of the Lord in the Old Testament. In fact, the entire Old Testament is basically prophets speaking God's word. And it brings me to say that the real problem is, you know, what do we do with this real problem? You got to defeat witchcraft. You say, didn't Jesus do that? He did do that, but you need to appropriate it. You need to take authority. Come on, my dog is one of the most obedient little Jack Russell Terriers you've ever seen on the planet. Unless you don't appropriate your authority. Then the dog is the biggest pain in the neck you have ever seen. However, it knows, on punishment of judgment, that if it disobeys me, there's going to be trouble, man. And so she knows. The dog knows. Now, if I space out and don't give her the command, then she's all over. She'll take off in the neighborhood. She'll drop bombs in the driveway. She'll walk across the carpet, which is verboten, totally forbidden. You cannot walk across, dogs may not walk across our carpet. Amen, Pastor Karen. Amen. But when I command her, when I appropriate my authority, I tell her, whether she obeys. I'm going to tell you something. Witchcraft wants to eat your lunch. You don't have anything to worry about. Unless you just don't think it exists or something, then you might be subject to being manipulated. All right. Understand why witchcraft is so evil. It demeans the very nature of God. You see, the God of the Bible is not like any other God out there. All the other gods come from in the primordial soup, the primordial slime. And it's like, you know, you see all the movies coming out, Thor, and they're cool. I like watching the movies too, and I sort of try to put a Christian filter on it and imagine that, you know, I'm Thor. You know what I'm talking about? Or Captain America or whatever that. I mean, I'm half joking, but I mean, I'm into victory and heroes and overcoming evil. But even like with Thor, it's bringing all this mythology and all of this stuff back, that, and it's just resurrecting the whole thing. And it's not the God, you know, how many of you know Thor is not the God of the Bible? He's the God of thunder. And they'd have the God of love. And if you needed love, then you'd pray to Aphrodite or something. If you needed something, you'd pray to that particular God. And then they would maybe help you, maybe not. And it's like they participated in magic as well, trying to get power from this primordial realm, as well as you were trying to get power from this inanimate primordial realm. That is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is an intelligent, uncreated one. Totally other than, but he's not removed from, totally involved in. The deists say that, oh yeah, there's a God in creation. He wound up creation and then he let it go just to find out what happened. That is not the God of the Bible either. Oh yeah, he made creation, but he's actively involved in the affairs of man and he really cares. And you see that throughout scripture. There is no other God like that, not one. And so witchcraft is so detestable because it demeans who God is. It tries to replace him. Oh, and it brings people into bondage is another reason why witchcraft is so detestable. Listen, if you've messed with Ouija boards and some of the things I've already mentioned, You've done, I mean, when I was a kid, we did Ouija boards, we did seances, we did all that stuff, all of it. When I went through a deliverance sheet that we've got that we do at a men's encounter or a women's encounter, I went through this thing, I'm like, did that. I was like checking every box. And then when I get to one that I wasn't sure of, I'm pretty sure I did, maybe, possibly, so I just checked that one too. Right? Or I thought about doing it, that's good enough, check. Right? It brings you into bondage. And we have to have a, you know, it says be holy in Scripture, for I am holy. It's, we're called to be perfect in Christ, to be perfect in God. Witchcraft is many times just used to accommodate sin. Because people want to do what they want to. You know, there's professional seekers. They're like, well, I'm just seeking. No, you're just sinning and saying that you're seeking. You don't really want the answer, because if you really get the real answer, then you got to stop sinning. And that's upsetting, you little sinner. Ruins your sin. God's intention is to make us into his image. One of my favorite things to do is to run into people that have been serving the Lord for 50 and 60 years. I didn't understand this when I was younger, so I mean, I'm middle-aged, whatever. I feel like I'm 20, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. And so I didn't understand this when I was in my 20s and even in my 30s. But as I'm moving towards 50, I understand this now. I meet somebody who's older. I meet any older person. Look, any older person that you ever meet, they know more than you. They've been through more than you. They've lived longer than you have. Okay, now if you meet somebody that's served God all their life, and they're older, they're 60, 70 years old, 80 years old. Listen up. Slow down. Slow it way down. Perk your ears up. Because many times people that live like that, I mean, with all their heart for God for 50 and 60 years, they have a Christ-likeness about them that is amazing. Pastor Jack O'Mary. I spend time with Pastor Jack O'Mary when I can. We do lunch. I sit down and the Spirit of God comes every time the Spirit of God falls on us, and I just listen. I listen to what he has to say. He's been serving God for like forever, man. Right, Scott? I mean, that's a major man of God. And I'm just thankful that God helped me to see that I can learn from people, because they become like Christ. Do you know Jesus doesn't want to leave you all busted and disgusted? He doesn't want to leave us. He loves us so much he takes us just the way that we are, but he loves us so much he refuses to leave us that way, and he'll make us more like him if we'll let him. Come on, that difficulty you're going through, that painful situation you're in, is designed by God to make you like Jesus. It's a divine appointment, as my wife would say. That person who slowed you down to way below the speed limit when you're in a rush. It's a divine appointment from God. That really irritating person at work. You know, the one you sit next to, the one, you know what I'm talking about? That Yamani. Your mother-in-law, maybe. Now, my mother-in-law is awesome, but maybe you have a mother-in-law. She, you know, mother-in-laws have been known to be irritating. This is not my joke, but it is kind of funny. The definition of mixed emotions is watching your mother-in-law go off a cliff in your brand new Escalade. It's a bad joke. It's not my joke, all right? All right. We don't wish death on anybody. I just felt the anointing just suck right out the room. What happened? God's intention is to make you into his image, and you'd never have thoughts like that. Amen. His intention is for you to be filled with the Spirit. For you to be a conduit of God. For you to hear his voice. For you to commune with him, to trust in him, to abide in him. Not have to try to manipulate, roll the dice, or pull the card, or have somebody try to read your palm, or call 1-800-IDIOT. God wants to speak to you himself. He wants to speak to you in the volume of his word. He wants to speak to you by the Spirit. He wants to open your ears, give you ears to hear his voice. And he wants to change you through his word, through obeying, through a loving, communing relationship. You know, I jumped on my Harley today for the first time, really. I mean, I went down the street the other day, but I was going to go for a ride today. I was going to go to the Dream Center and go share my testimony. I thought, I'm pulling up to the Dream Center in my Harley. Yeah. I took off down the road. First of all, it was extremely cold. The next thing I noticed beyond it being extremely cold, and I was pretty well prepared, was all of a sudden I lost my peace. And what I mean by lost my peace, I mean I lost my peace. Like, I can't think of anything else but get off the bike. Get off the bike. So I'm all, bah! And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I start letting up. I'm like, this is all wrong. There's something wrong here. And I went about a mile, maybe not even, about half a mile. I thought, nope, I'm going to be late for my meeting. I'm getting off the bike. I turned the thing around, drove it all the way back home. There's a higher law. Sorry I was late, guys. Higher law at work. I was going to be road pizza. Amen. I'm getting off the bike. I lost my peace. If you'll just learn to commune and walk with him. We live our whole lives this way. You don't have to look for some kind of thing to make it happen. You don't have to force things to happen. You just trust God. Obey God. Listen to, do the word. Obey the word. Obey his voice. Let the peace of God lead you. Don't try to manipulate things at work. Don't try to exaggerate and try to help God out. You know, if you just cut that person, then you'll be right in line to be the next one, to be the guy that gets chosen. I've done that and missed it. And they changed it. You know, when I picked the guy where I was going to be, they picked him. You know what I mean? Yeah, and the Lord's like, duh. Be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit through people with a prophetic voice. But also through, come on, you're the prophet over your own life. Learn to hear his voice. Any sheep in here, anybody here, you saved? You say, well, I want to know, how do I know how to hear his voice? Well, let me just give you a simple thing. The voice had told you, you need to get right with me. You need to give your heart to me. You need to lift your hand now. Your heart beating in your chest. That's the voice of God. His voice always lines up with Scripture. There's something about his voice, even when I'm rebuked by him, even when I'm corrected by him, there's a loving, it's not an angry, vengeful, I told you kind of slap you around and stuff you in a woodshed until you learn kind of God. How many times have I told you you must obey me? That's not God. No, he's the kind of God that says, well, you know, I wish you could have trusted me. You know? He said, but Lord, we seemed like grasshoppers, and so we were grasshoppers in our own sight. He's like, well, I was too small in your eyes. You had a misperception. I love you. Take a lap. And then what? Take a what? A lap. How many? 40. 40? Yes, I have to wait until you die so that I can raise up your children in your place. Some of you just been taking another lap. Oh, hallelujah. I've had many encounters with witchcraft. And in every encounter, did he say every? Yes, is that a blanket word? Yes, it is. It's a blanket word. In every single encounter, that spirit lost. We have been in hellacious fights and warfare. And it's never really fun. There really are witches and there really are warlocks. But I've found more than anything that it's people that just are wounded and hurting and trying to control people. They really just haven't met the Lord. Do you know a spirit of Jezebel cannot operate without Ahab? And I've had people say, oh, there's a spirit of Jezebel. Well, she's going to get healed, I guess. You know, praise the Lord. Let her get, you know. Ahab can't operate with Jezebel. Look, if you can't be manipulated, then what are you going to worry about? Just don't make her a leader. Amen. Or him. It's not even, it has nothing to do with a woman or a man. How do you know a man can have a spirit of Jezebel? Man. Uh-huh. Fabulous. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Look, very simple message that I didn't get finished to study to preach to you. But I hope that you got something, a little overview about witchcraft. And you can you need to take authority over it. And you be careful that you're not participating in it. Through anger, through gossip, through slander, talking stink about somebody. It's ugly, man. And you as character assassination, you kill somebody, you say, oh, well, you know what they did? Sounds like a snake, doesn't it? And then the next time, and you know, you take on somebody else's offense and you don't even know the story, and then you see them and you're like, right? Yeah, when I've had, you know what I'm talking about? Somebody, I've had that happen to me. I heard it, you said. What'd I say? Oh, no, I heard, you know. You know what my favorite thing to do is with gossip? I'm just going to go in a couple moments longer. One of my favorite thing to do with gossip and when it comes to me about somebody who spoke about me, it's my favorite. I really enjoy doing this. I mean, I find great pleasure in it. Is when somebody says, I mean, it's a true story. I'll illustrate the principle. I had somebody come to me and say, oh, Pastor, I heard that you don't like me. And I heard that you just think that I'm a fake Christian and that I'm just out for my own thing. And is that right? Is that how you feel about me? That's what I heard, isn't it? That's what you feel about me, isn't it? I said, what are you talking about? They said, I heard that. I said, well, who'd you hear that from? I can't tell you. That's like the other thing. You know, there's a lot of people that are concerned about this particular thing. My next question is, really, who? Well, there's a lot. Name them. Well, I'm concerned. And I can't really think of the others right now. Yeah. You can't even think of one? In this case, this lady says, I heard what you said. I said, who said? She said, I can't say. It was in confidence. I said, no, you're going to tell me. She said, excuse me? I said, you're going to tell me. You know why you're going to tell me? Because I didn't say it. And when we find out who that is, we're going to go talk to her ourselves. She goes, really? I said, oh, yeah. So who is it? She says, Sister Bucketmouth. I said, I knew it. Praise God. Let's go talk to her. Praise the Lord. And we were having a potluck. And this is years ago. It was not here. Because some of you are like, Sister Bucketmouth, who is that? Which one is that? Which one is Sister Bucketmouth? Is that really your last name, Bucketmouth? So we found the sister and stood there with her, this lady, and I said, hi. She goes, oh, hi, Pastor. I said, you know, we were just talking, and she began to tell me that you said to her that I said such and such and so and so. And she goes, oh, I didn't say that. And the lady says, yes, you did. She goes, oh, no, I didn't mean that. What? That's exactly what you say. I didn't mean it that way. You misunderstood me. I said, so it's a misunderstanding? She goes, uh-huh, it's a misunderstanding. I said, so what did you say that I said? Well, I don't really remember. I go, yeah, because I didn't say anything, right? She goes, I go, okay. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for you too. Why don't you forgive her? I walked them through the whole thing. You know why? Because I'm not talking about people. You don't have, you know, my mama used to say, you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. My daddy used to say, if you don't have something nice to say, shut up. Don't be used on the devil's wrecking crew. Don't be used to use your mouth to control people. Speak words of life. Be like an oracle of God. Have communion with God. Let sweet things come forth. Have good thoughts. I can't believe they did. You know, maybe they didn't. The longer I'm in ministry, the longer I realize there's like 7 or 8 sides to a story. Forget 2. No, I mean, like, you hear one thing, you can immediately be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe the injustice. You only heard one side, and that's their perception. And they were on crack when they heard it. Hello? They were on medical marijuana when they were talking. And so you're hearing some dope smoke perception about what actually took place. Hashtag just saying. Just saying. All right, we're done. Do I have a musician, please? Come on, stand up on your feet. Well, I hope you got something out of that. Praise God. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that witchcraft has no power here. Thank you, Lord, that divination and witchcraft, an abomination before you, has no control over the saints. Your power is broken by the blood of the Lamb. And all of you rageaholics, you don't need to raise your hand. You people that are trying to control people with sex, money. Hello? Anger, fear. If you don't do that, then I'm not going to do all of that. It's all witchcraft. Repent right now. Come on, just repent. You've been talking stink about somebody. Hey, you know, all of life is seed time and harvest, baby. All of it. And what you sow, you will reap. And if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. And I've had that pull up next to me, and I'm going to tell you what, a whirlwind's no fun. Do you get it? Let's just repent. I've sown some seeds. This is my mama again, my mama coming through again. I found this seed time and harvest principle right in Genesis. And I realized, oh my gosh, I put some stuff in the ground. We're going to have a major problem, God. We can have the problem because I've been sowing some stuff that's bad seed. So I was crying one day in prayer, messed up and grieved, because I thought all the horrible things I've done in my life up to that point, you know, 23, 24 years old, if I get a crop of that, I'm just going to get cream. I sowed more seeds than the average person at that point. I was weeping and I told my mom what I was praying about. She said, well, son, you know what the Word of God says? I said, what? She says, He's the Lord of the harvest. I said, yeah. She goes, well, come on, son, we're going to pray for crop failure. Serious. She put her hand on me. She said, God, let all those seeds die. Let them die, Lord. Come on, some of you need to pray for crop failure right now. God, we pray. Come on, God can just intervene. Lord, we repent, Lord, for where we've not done right, where we've maybe even been used to try to control people. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. May we walk in your love and release consequences according to your good pleasure. For there is a consequences to sin. If you cross the line, you need to give consequences. If somebody crosses the line on you, you need to give consequences. That's called love. You just don't, you do it with the right heart. And mercy triumphs over judgment, but there is judgment, and sometimes you need to give it. If you don't learn to give it to your kids, you're going to raise kids and have a prison ministry later on. Oh, yeah. So, Lord, we just repent. In Jesus' name, 1 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to you, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we receive your cleansing. Come on, just receive it right now. Washed and cleansed today, blood of the Lamb. And we take authority now over witchcraft, over that foul spirit in the land. And we command you and your power to be broken off of our families, broken off of our community, broken off of our church, broken off of the body of Christ, broken off of America. Lord, we just ask and pray now by the authority in the name of Jesus that witchcraft would be broken off of each and every family here. Even generational, broken by the power of the name of Jesus. And all in agreement said, amen. Take someone by the hand tonight. Pastor Karen, would you close us, sweetheart?
Lord, we thank you for your word that's gone forth tonight. Lord, we thank you. And God, we just pray right now that you would bless your people, cause your face to shine upon them, lift up your countenance towards them, be gracious to them, keep them, and give them peace. In your most awesome name, the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
All right, have some fellowship. In about 10 minutes, we're going to start pulling chairs and stack these things all the way in the far back offices and clear the place out. We love you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hey, be praying for the property, financing, all of that. Amen.
Thanks for listening to King's Chapel, Alaska and Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion is making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's life call and help us to be the personal, powerful, and permeating church God's called us to be. Get in touch with us anytime at 907-357-2065, 907-357-2065, or online at kcalaska.com, kcalaska.com. Friend us on Facebook and follow Pastor Daniel's tweets at Alaska Revival.